Well, this was just one. This song was just one of the many ways God showed His love and presence to me through my most recent trial. Moments that I'd like to call a God kiss. If you would just join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time to share of your amazing love that never fails or fails no matter the trial. Thank you for your promise that you work all things together for good. So when a trial hits, we can remember that life is not falling apart, but falling actually into place. Please give me what I stand in need of to glorify you in my talk this morning, and thank you for all who are present, in Jesus' name. So my title is The Love of Christ in a Trial, Look for the God Kisses. Well, I don't know if you have been loved well, because we have a society filled with flaws. Maybe our dads have failed us, maybe moms have failed us, friends, and maybe even our marriages have failed or relationships have failed in some way. But if you're a believer, you are loved well. Do we understand that? Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do we understand how much He truly loves us? He loved us so much to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And when we trust in that, we know we're going to heaven. It was made personal to me when someone put my name in that verse and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I thought, wow, when you get saved, it's like, wow, He loved me that much. But then life happens and the love of Christ seems to fade in our minds. We laugh at the Israelites, don't we, sometimes? They panicked every time things would get scary or didn't go well, yet a loving God would continue to provide for them. And then there's all those verses we can claim about love right in the Bible. Jeremiah 31:3, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Ephesians 3:17-19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then there's Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love is unending, it's incomprehensible, and it's inseparable. No matter the trial, His love is present. I had the privilege to speak in the past about waiting for a mate and waiting for a baby. Can I attest to His love? Oh yeah. But is it because I got married? Is it because I now have a daughter? Well, for many years, I didn't know He was going to provide a husband. In fact, for 3 years, I wasn't even sure I was going to have a baby. I was told for 3 years, actually, no. 3 times by 3 different doctors. But I was privileged to be taught His character. And one of His attributes is love. When you know His character, you know He loves you. 1 John 4:8-16 talks about it. Verse 16 in particular says, and we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. I know he loves me. Well, now my most recent trial, breast cancer. This wasn't waiting or wanting for anything. This was a sickness, an attack on my health. And it was allowed by him. I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer with a large enough tumor to need chemotherapy. Do you still think he loves you now, Lisa? Well, Satan was ready to throw that curveball often. Why me? This isn't fair. How can he allow this? Doesn't he love me? Well, I would love to tell you all and how everything went down, but we just don't have that kind of time. I would, however, like to share with you some moments where the trial of cancer challenged, maybe even doubted in my mind, God's love for me. But then how evident His love would show up through moments I'd like to call a God kiss. So, my first moment I'd like to talk about is this was my month of December 2017. So, I wrote this up for this particular thing, but this talk. But this was as a Thursday, if you can imagine, November 30th, life was fairly normal. I knew I had a biopsy scheduled, or excuse me, I had an ultrasound scheduled on the 1st. And I just thought it was no big deal. In fact, that day I was actually supposed to catch up with my husband and wife to go have pizza because family was in town. But that ultrasound ended up being a doctor that had to walk out of the room and come back and then say that we're going to have 2 biopsies. And I was a little surprised and shocked and by myself. By Friday, I was driving home with my chest completely wrapped from 2 biopsies being done on my right side. And I'm sharing some details with you because I'll talk with them a little bit later. But okay, so then Saturday, we had the Lavelle and our family Christmas party. On Sunday, I had to teach Sunday school, and there was a Sylvia Starka's retirement party that day. On Monday at 5:30, I was found out I do have breast cancer. On the 5th, they called and let me know, like, basically what was going to happen in the next couple of days. By the 6th, I was sitting across from a surgeon at 9 a.m. finding out what was going to happen next and explain more what my cancer was like. On 7th, he is our homeschool co-op. I had to go and do that. And talk about that later. The 8th, I had to wait for what's called HER2 results, which is to find out if you have a protein in your body that basically with for cancer. The ninth, we have the rest of our family over to talk about and let them know the degree of what was going on with cancer and what was coming. On the 10th, I had to teach Sunday school again, and then it was the DBC Christmas program. On the 11th was Tim's birthday. On the 12th was an MRI, of which I was told to stay in town and found out I had to have two more biopsies on the other side. On the 13th, actually I had nothing. Who said it's not a lucky day? That's the only day for either. On the 14th was our co-op again, and then at noon, I was sitting across from a plastic surgeon finding out all that could, all my options. Then at 1:30, I was back in front of the surgeon who found out, who actually told me that day, your tumor is large enough that you are going to chemotherapy, which was a very sad day in my head as I kept comprehending. The 15th, I was sitting across at 9:30 a.m. as my new oncologist, who will be with me the entire next year in my entire cancer trial. And then I was getting a blood draw. Then I had my niece's graduation. The 17th, I was actually leaving Sunday school. I had to go fight cancer. So I taught my last Sunday school. Come back to the 18th. On the 19th, I was having to go through a PET scan to see if there was cancer in the rest of my body. On the 20th, I was headed into surgery to have a port put in because chemotherapy would be running through my body. And the 20th, or excuse me, that was the 20th. The 21st, I had an echocardiogram at 3 p.m. to make sure my heart could handle chemotherapy. And at the 21st, I was meeting with my oncologist to find out if I could go home to Milwaukee to be with my family to have some type of normal Christmas before we start this. So, what are the God kisses for that, huh? Oh, so the first weekend, this is a God kiss. On that Friday, I had found out that there's a possibility I have cancer. And I think that the Lord in His sovereignty gave me that Lavelle. He put it on the Friday before the Lavelle Christmas party. I was with family. I was doing some games. People knew a little bit about it. They were loving. They were kind. Then I had to teach Sunday school. You have to prep. I mean, I prepped, but you have to make sure you're ready for that. And on Sunday, that retirement party was just listen about Sylvia Starka and her life and just people honoring her. I remember thinking, I didn't have time to sit and worry. I really didn't have time to sit and worry. And I just thought, Lord, you knew you were just going to give it to me on that day that we had the pre-scheduled Lavelle Christmas party. And that, to me, I looking back, was a God kiss. Then on the 18th, one of my neighbors had found out, or she had known about that, that I had been diagnosed with breast cancer. So I'm walking that day with my little girl who's 8 years old. Her name is Ollie Lou, and we're walking the dogs, and I happen to run into her. And just visiting for a little bit, and out of the blue, she said, she was going to her sister's, and she's like, hey, I would like to, Ollie Lou, why don't you come with me? And I'm thinking, first of all, Ollie Lou probably wouldn't, and I'm like, oh, you don't want my daughter with you? You don't, you know, she has a little bit of an older son, and she's like, I would love that. And I look at Ollie, and she goes, yeah, I want to go. And I'm thinking, what? And so it was like, okay. And I remember, I didn't think much of it at the time, but I'll tell you, I went home, and to understand the amount of bubbling and stress that I was trying to keep it together for my daughter, I do homeschool my daughter, and you are just trying to put one foot in front of the other. And so when he took her, I had this like, oh, yeah, I have cancer, and this is really hard. And I just bawled. I prayed. She came home at 4, and I was like, hey. And it was just like, the Lord knows where you're at. He orchestrates things. He took her. I trusted because part of my mom heart wanted to be like, oh, no, you know, that guilt we don't want to let. You know, you don't need to take her, you know. And I trusted. I stepped out, and it was so serving. Okay, another God kiss is, I mean, by the 21st, I was like, holy cow, this is what I'm going to be going through this particular year. And I really, every year, we go home to Milwaukee for Christmas, which is where my parents are. And that Christmas was absolutely amazing. My nieces are of older ages, and they all chose to come. They all, you know, you just tell how they get older, and they all have different things. They could be with maybe another family member, a love interest, or, you know, they just didn't have to be there, and they all came. My mom and dad were there. Obviously, my mom and dad were there. That's what we came to see. Michaela came with her husband, and then even Bailey and Luke you know, they didn't have, excuse me, Bailey and Mark, which is, Bailey is my stepdaughter and her husband Mark. And they could have gone to Mark's family side, and they said, we're going to come down to Milwaukee, because we celebrate Christmas when we come back. And they chose to come down too. And that Christmas was just a very filling, I was grateful, first of all, again, the Lord's timing to just clear that out, to be able to go and feel normal, go to do Christmas before I was going to come back. And then everybody came, and it was absolutely so awesome. Okay, so now Christmas is over, and I'm driving back to Duluth, and I was like, that was just wonderful, that was lovely, thank you, Lord, for the amazing Christmas. As I'm approaching Duluth, you realize I'm driving back to Duluth. Duluth is, I'm going to go fight cancer at St. Luke's Hospital. And as I'm coming back, the fullness of my love is going like this, and fear, as we're approaching Duluth, is like this. And I'm driving away from this entire loving family, even though some of them are in Milwaukee and some of them are up in Duluth, but they're spread out, and I think, I don't know if I should drive away from these people, you know? And I drove back with utter fear, and or just comprehending fear of what's coming. My phone rang. We had just drove into Superior, and my phone rang. And it was my sister-in-law, Judy Lavelle, who also goes to Duluth Bible. And she's like, hey, Lisa, can you talk for a minute? And I said, yep. And she said, you know, there are so many people here that want to help. They heard about your diagnosis. They want to help. And we're going to start a meal train and want to help in any way we can. I thought, that is amazing. Here I am feeling the fear. And the Lord, call now. Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. I mean, amazing. I was back on a Tuesday. Chemo was starting on Thursday. And my freezer was full on Wednesday. Psalm 145:17-28, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. It was overwhelming and wonderful. Okay. The second moment in time is telling your 8-year-old little girl named Ollie Lou that you have cancer. So, on that calendar, after the co-op, one day that key co-op, sometimes we visit with, we go to lunch with one of the moms and their daughter just to talk. And that particular Thursday or Tuesday it was, they weren't able to come. And Ollie's like, can we still go to lunch? And I said, we can still go out to lunch. So her and I just went out. And it was a God kiss. The Lord just nudged me to talk to her about what cancer was and if she understood and what her understanding was and that I have it. It was very matter of fact. It was over Happy Meal, go figure. And I didn't cry. She was inquisitive. And we drove home. And I just remember calling Tim and I'm like, my husband, and I was like, I told her. He's like, how'd it go? And I'm like, it was over Happy Meal, that helps. And she knows. And I just was glad that she just knew. You know, that was good. Well, that night came the tougher questions. Hey, Mom. Let's put her in her to bed, and will you lose your hair? And I'm like, you know, honey, I'm pretty sure I might. I'd like to not, but I'm pretty sure. And then I thought we were done. Mom, are you going to die? And I thought, wow, you're verbalizing exactly what my incredible fear was, you know. Did you not get the handout today? This is it. Here's your hand. The Lord had given me wisdom at that moment to just, to just answer her. And honestly, I can't tell you exactly. I did not cry. I did say something along the lines of, we'll all die at one point, and the Lord knows exactly when, and I have no plans of dying soon. And I will tell you about that part about losing my hair. I remember the Lord said something. I mean, I was like, well, I might lose my hair, but I still have the same arms to hold you or hug you. And so I thought, oh, that was good. You know?
No credit for it. I take no credit for it. I didn't prepare for those questions because I really thought I got away with it at McDonald's. Okay, so another really awesome God kiss was that being a homeschooler, we like to go to the library. And we've gone quite a bit. And when you go into the library, there's one section that always has new books. And we always check them, a new kids section of books. And so we always check them. Well, wouldn't you know it? Guess what? I mean, that day. This is, I had just learned, you know, I have cancer. We're going to still go for it. This is sitting there. This is the one on display. Cancer hates kisses. I mean, this is right in my, I mean, a little more primary than my daughter's level. But I was like, I mean, I just walked right to it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, it just talked about, and mom's a superhero in the end. I mean, she's got a bald head, but I highly recommend it. But anyway, cancer, hate, love, you know, just. So that, you know, the doctors will give you certain methods, and or nurses will give you methods to do that. And I saw some of the books that they had too, and they're a little goofy for my taste. But when I got that, and all I was like, Mom, are we going to read that tonight? We're like, uh-huh. And in the meantime, it does take you through what you're going to go through, but it was delightful. And I just was like, Lord, you are so right with me. You are helping me handle these things one by one. And so not getting ahead of the Lord and Him really taking care of it. Romans 5, 3 through 5, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay. So the third moment I'd like to share with you was losing my hair. One of the hardest things to accept and still know that I am loved, because I certainly did not feel it. Between my second and third chemo, I started to feel the full effects of chemotherapy, extreme tiredness, a metal taste in my mouth, and hair loss. And at one point, I honestly thought, maybe I'll beat it. Maybe it won't happen to me. Maybe, you know, it hasn't happened yet, and I already had one chemotherapy. And no, I wasn't going to get out of this one. I would wake up in the morning and get up and turn around and to make your bed, and it literally, the pillowcase, it took my breath away, the amount of hair that is on my pillowcase. And when you touch your head, you're like, and I still have some. I mean, that is how much, when you hear about he knows every hair on your head, that is a whole new level of understanding for me these days. Because I was like, oh, we still have it. You know, I mean, it was overwhelming, but you still have hair on your head. And then when you went into the shower, the water was like little razors. I mean, I would just watch my feet, and I was like, oh. It was a very out-of-control feeling. It was very debilitating. And I was really low. I mean, a woman loves her hair, even if we don't like, we have bad hair days. We just love our hair. You want to have hair. And, well, of course, who's my God kiss was my husband. I'd like, I know I have to shave my head eventually or sooner or later. That's usually part of the deal, but already, I'm already at this point. And he was like, yes. He's like, this is making you weak. He said, don't let the cancer have the control. And that is, it was an out of control feeling. I know God is in control, but this in particular, it was like punishment, punishment, punishment. He said, your hair is not who you are, I know. And then he said, shed the identity of who you think you are and take on His identity. And I was like, okay. So I did. I texted my, was very kind enough that I was able to text my stylist, Michelle. I just said, I didn't know I was going to be at this stage of the game so soon. Would you mind doing this for me? And she actually met me at the hair salon before it opened. And God bless her, she cried with me. And Ollie Lou came with, and it was, I mean, look at the smile on my daughter's face. There's no fear there. I think I was more afraid. So she really came through, and she actually took a picture of Michelle and I too. So it was a new face. So
a verse that made sweet to me is, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be my comfort according to your word to your servant." So, that night, my mom happened to be coming into town because she was going to be working a lot in this particular weekend. She was going to come and help around the house. And so she came from Milwaukee, and my nieces were like, "Oh, Nani's in town. We have this used to, I'm going to come too." And I'm thinking, oh, I'm literally going to meet this head on. Like, everyone was coming over. And I was like, okay, everybody's coming over to the house. And then Tim, my husband, arrived with his gesture. Hard to watch. My stepkids, my older stepkids, poor Bailey and Luke, and Ollie, Lou, 8-year-old, now have two bald parents. Although I will tell you, my older kids assured me that Tim was way more disturbing to take on than me. To look at me. I was like, you liars. No. Anyway, so my mom, everybody, my nieces, we were all there. And as we sat around the table, I was realizing that I just may be the least burdened. You see, my nieces were dealing with their teenage issues in the divorce. My mom, her husband, my dad, but her husband has COPD, and now both her daughters were going through some major trials. And my husband, Jim, well, you see, his wife's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and there was nothing physically he can do about it. Then Ollie Lou, her mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she was doing everything to understand what that means and being brave about it. Romans 15:13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Well, a tired, bald mom can't always play, and she can't always be fun. But she can tell her daughter to grab some washable markers. Why, you ask? I had been tired of laying on the couch, and I felt bad for her, and she wasn't complaining, and I said, "Ollie Lou, why don't you go grab some washable markers?" And she had been a good little helper lately with me being sick, and she grabbed them and just put them down and then went back to do her thing. And I had pulled my cap off, and I said, "Why don't you," and she's like, and after that, I said, "Can you just hold on a second?" And I went and just made sure it came off. For those of you that may not know my daughter, she's not always the girliest girl. So I was very like, "You picked a crown out of pink and purple, of all things." And then I found this verse, James 1:12, "He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Okay. So my fourth moment in time was, or moment or time, was my midpoint of chemo. I had had 4 rounds of chemo, and I had 4 more left. In your midpoint of chemo, you get an MRI to see how things are going, and that's a very scary time to... Well, I had lost all my hair, and at this point, I had no taste. There was just no taste of food. I knew I would lose my chest eventually through a double mastectomy. I was feeling ugly. My MRI was less than hopeful. After that, the 4 rounds of chemo, the MRI results, quote, "The tumor is the same size, but it's weaker." I'm like, huh. And you really have to just accept, you know. And then they canceled my chemo because my numbers were low. I was just at a low point. I was hurting. I was scared. My circumstances weren't good. What possible God kiss could be for this one? Well, my husband to the rescue once again. Once again, I was crying on the edge of my bed. This was a common occurrence in 2018 because you would get Alleluia to bed, and then I just remember sitting on the corner of my bed because you have to let go because you're doing your day with her, and you don't want her to see you scared. And so anyway, I was sitting on the corner of that bed, and I thought, this is a lot, it's much, and I don't have circumstantial hope at all, other, you know, circumstantial, looking at my circumstances. Well, Tim was able to pour truth into my circumstance-filled mind. Oh, I forgot this, sorry. So there's my husband and I. Psalm 27:13-14, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said, it is not an option to lose hope. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, Lisa, his grace will be sufficient. Romans 4:20-21, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. He said, do not waver. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And he said, we're going to stand fast. And lastly, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He reminded me, I'm living out life by faith in him. We serve him, not us. When I was going through it, you want to kind of get back to your life. You want your old hair, but you want to not worry about it. And for Tim to remind me that this, we're living out our life through him, he was reminded that he's the God, he sustains us. We're here today because of him and for him. And that was such a redirect in my thinking, because what it came down to is I felt benched. I felt taken out. I felt set down. Sit down and you deal with this. You sit over there and handle it. I felt benched. But what I realized is I wasn't benched. I was called. I was called to walk through cancer. You know, I was so thankful for the Lord, to the Lord, for Tim pointing me to Christ. And a little deviation here. If there are singles here, it is a passionate thing to me. Please wait on the Lord for his choice in marriage. I feel like, you know, I didn't get married till 36, and then I did have to wait for my daughter till 39, but you just have no idea what you're going to be called to walk through. And to have my husband serve the way he did, it was amazing, and it's worth the wait. So, aside from waiting on the Lord, it is amazing that when you can see the blessings or God kisses when you're looking to him in a dark time or a dark trial or any trial. This verse was fun to come across. I just thought it was insane. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. I mean, it just was saying, when you're dark or when you're low, I'm going to text you and remind you, I'm the God of Israel. I mean, that just was good to me, because that's what he was doing. These God kisses, these amazing, I'm here, this is hard. I'm here, here another. So when you're going through those trials, look for those. Okay, and the fifth moment, or last time I wanted to share, I can't help but lastly and very importantly talk about the love of Christ shown through the body of Christ, the believers. It was so absolutely amazing.
God kisses, the amazing meals, the cookies, the breads, the mints, dark chocolate, the scarves, the hats, journals to write in. I even got a lemon plant, which was very interesting. The child care for my daughter, people willing to take Alelu, the love shown to her was awesome. The wonderful text of encouragement, the perfect timing of a mailed card, the hugs or sweet look from across the church, even if they couldn't get to me or talk to me, was huge and impactful. And the prayer. Oh, don't doubt the prayer. I mean, I'm praying for you is a pretty aloof comment to say, but I know people were praying for me, and it is powerful and amazing, and I was a recipient of that. The poor me didn't stand a chance to the love of Christ through the body of believers. And this was even they do the sunshine bag for the young people. That was absolutely touching and amazing. Romans 12:10-13, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. I was humbled, honored, and grateful to be a recipient of this type of love. So, my current physical update is after 8 rounds of chemo, a bilateral mastectomy, and reconstructive surgery, I am happy to be declared cancer-free. So, as we step out in faith, in whatever trial you could be facing, it could be easy to doubt His love for us. But as a believer, remind yourself that you have the most perfect lover loving you right now. Look for the God kisses. So we'll just end in prayer. Lord, thank you again for this time and this opportunity to remind ourselves of your perfect love for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.